posed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. These preparations are concealed, not publicized. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious.
Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
I drink your milkshake! I drink it up!
Thank you, John Larson. I receive your kind words on behalf of all of our courageous members of the House of Representatives who want the best for the American people. And what we can do that is best for them in the next 24 hours is to pass affordable, accessible health care for all Americans. The best for all Americans is to have 32 million more people to have health insurance in our country. The best for...
Piece of stinking filth.
Say it again, Shal. This is AJ of InfoWars. Listen to the Shaliak. This is Alex Jones of InfoWars. Listen to Shaliak on the Cold Reality News and Report.
This is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Well, hello there!
Welcome, folks. You're the Cold Reality Radio Show. Shali is not able to make it today. Unfortunately, I have the sad news of announcing that Jack is no longer with us. He took his decrepit self, as my dog is soon to do, and took him away. Went away from this place. Very sad. It's a tough thing to go through. So Shali's going to take a break today. And that leaves me. So, of course, last minute. So, I really have nothing prepared. So, I'm just going to wing it today. Obviously, the news of the day is the news of yesterday and the day before and the day before that, which is the the presidential election, I believe, would be the hot news, the hot topic. Yeah, I don't know what to say. It's a little strange to see the rioting that's going on. Although I gotta be honest, you know, when I saw that the popular vote came back for Hillary Clinton, and that the election was over, according to the news agencies, before the popular vote ever even made it in. Again, I can't stress enough that those riots should be about one and only one thing, not who won or didn't win, but the fact that your vote doesn't count. Your vote does not actually get counted. This is why the president was declared as elect. Right? They call it president-elect, not president-vote, president-elect. This is why your president gets chosen, not your president. He's nobody's president. He's president of a corporation, don't get me wrong. But he is president of your person. And you need to understand that, that you pledge fealty to that, that God that controls your status, your nationality, your ethnicity in this country. That's something that we all have to, again, face. But the rioting that is taking place right now, here's my confusion about that. Now, I was in We Are Change. I was in a couple of war protests in Los Angeles when I was still... too stupid to realize it doesn't matter. But I gotta say, trying to organize an event or a protest that is a really, really difficult thing to do. I mean, it's really hard to get people to show up for, you know, anything, really. Even like free stuff, you know. We saw that Hillary couldn't fill her concert hall with Jay-Z and Beyonce. We couldn't get enough people to come out for something political. And the people that did come out, they came out for Jay-Z and Beyonce, of all things. And I did get a kick out of that because, of course, when I was reading the lyrics that someone had transduced over, you know, transposed over over the concert, I had to laugh because, you know, Hillary comes out afterwards and she's just so proud to have these two just horrendous artists perform. And you read their lyrics and, you know, it's... Yo, bitch, yo, hoes, damn hoes. Right? I'm like, wait, didn't we just have a big old thing about Trump, you know, having his whole language problem, grab him by the... Yeah, so here is this just vulgar, absolute crap being thrown forward as music in this concert, just degrading in all possible ways to so many different elements of society, but specifically to women. And she comes out as if nothing just happened. You're like, wait a minute, how can you have that? How did you just have that as your headliner after all you've said and all you had that come out and be the music group that supports you? I was quite honestly, I was taken aback that, are people so stupid? I don't blame her. I blame you, us. Are people so stupid that I don't know what to say anymore. I think people are so stupid. I think everybody's starting to feel that way out here in radio land. I think we're all starting to feel a little bit separated, and not in a good way, from society. I think we're feeling almost persecuted at this point for having any intelligent thought. I think a lot of people are feeling that way. I know several hosts that I've been in contact with over the years. The ones that are decent, anyway, the ones that I know aren't shills, which are very few and far between, they're all having the same sort of effect. They're starting to sort of become introverted and sort of becoming their own little cave dwellers, if you will, getting in the basement or getting in the studio and not really wanting to come out of the house anymore because things have just gotten so strange. I tried to get Patrick to join me today because of the strangeness and the personality changes that I see around me, but I'll save that for another day. You know, I don't know what to say at this point. They've got people protesting Trump, right? Like, literally, Trump. If you're going to protest anything, you should be protesting the crown of president. You should be protesting the system that allows such criminals to be the choice and the only choice, the causality. But to protest Trump himself is it's just so bizarre to me. And I've noticed that during the election specials, during the news coverage, the little that I've watched, there will be a constant sort of barrage of people who say, you know, they always use the keyword look. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. But at some point in the news media, the word look became their keyword or their whatever it is. I don't know, some psychological thing where they say look and you look. I don't know, or you listen. Very strange, but they always start out with, look, here's how it works, here's how it goes. And inevitably, someone will say, hey, look, Trump won fair and square, the popular vote fair and square. And they'll have to, you know, you hear this sort of hush hush, this sort of like in the background sort of a no, he didn't win the popular vote. No, you can't say that on the news, even though you can say anything on the news. they're like, no, don't say Trump won the popular vote. That's going to piss people off. Because people, you know, at this point, know that Trump didn't win the popular vote. And so these guys are making, you know, these comments that are geared toward a dumbed-down public. But you know, there's only so much you can dumb down a public. You can't hide the fact that it was that again, the election was stolen, if you will, by the Electoral College. It was planned out to be stolen or to be taken through the Electoral College, not the popular vote. And I heard the guy that did the planning process, and they went specifically into the Republican Party, went specifically into certain neighborhoods. He said it was a four-year process of going in and getting those smaller neighborhoods, those rural areas, the farming communities and that kind of thing, to vote, to go out and vote in the first place, but of course to vote red. And he explained the whole process. Well, not the whole process, but he, you know, I was impressed. It was very sophisticated, very, very complicated to go to those certain little areas and ensure that the people that they could not have imagined would turn out to vote would not be in those big cities. And of course, you know, where are the blue votes? You know, I find it kind of humorous that places like California, places like college towns, that sort of thing, are of course absolutely 100% blue. Blue places where you can really see the mentality of the changing landscape, the mentality, which is the young people vote blue because they're being raised on exactly this sort of nonsense that is Agenda 21, now Agenda 2030, just all these things. So it's funny, I looked up the word sophistication because I noticed, of course, that it sounded a lot like sophistry. Sophisticate or sophistication is a lot like sophistry. And sure enough, guess where the word sophistication comes from? Now, when we look at the word sophistry, to be a sophist, basically, that amounts to what Jan Ervin talks about a lot is fallacious reasoning. You know, you go down the logical fallacies, and they're quite once you learn the logical fallacies, then it's very difficult for, say, a lawyer or some other sophisticated person to harm you with words. You can call out their fallacy. You can call out the fact that what they're saying is, it's logical, but it's without source or without grammar, without knowledge. And that's what sophistry is. Fallacious reasoning sound in appearance only. Well, gee, it looks right, therefore it must be right. Well, if they say it looks right about every gun and every bullet and every bomb, we're going to be screwed. These men have obscured and confounded the nature of things by their false principles and wretched sophistry. Sophistry is an exercise in logic. Now, we've talked about logic before, and what I find is that most people are based in logic, and that's a very dangerous place to be. Once I started understanding the notion of spiritual thought without words or thought without the confines of words or their meanings. For instance, to think of someone not as their name is very difficult. To think of someone not as their so-called reputation or personality or number or, you know, title is very difficult. So to sophisticate, turns out, which I love, these are from Webster's 1828 dictionary. So how does sophistry which is fallacious reasoning. How does that have to do with sophistication? We think sophistication is a good thing. A lot of words that we think are good are actually the opposite of good. Sophisticate is a verb transitive. It means to adulterate. To corrupt by something spurious or foreign, to pervert, as to sophisticate nature, philosophy, or the understanding of things. Wow. We are a fucking sophisticated society, to be sure. To adulterate, to render spurious as merchandise. Well, that's actually what persons are. Men cannot be called as merchandise, but their persons can. They become things or res. To sophisticate wares or liquors, for instance. Again, to sophisticate something is to be adulterated or not pure, not genuine. A sophisticator is one that adulterates, one who injures the purity and genuineness of a thing by foreign admixture. Well, again, that's what we're all suffering from. I remind the listeners that is the whole premise, actually, of my works that I'm releasing, which is corruption of blood, the corruption of that purity of what we are in reality and nature, that admixture of the surname. So what does a sophisticator do to us? What does he do when he adulterates us? Well, he injures us. He puts us into law by adulterating or corrupting the purity and genuineness of our name by foreign admixture. He mixes the straw man or the legal last name with the Christian name. Last, of course, has the meaning of last will and testament. That's why they call it the last name. That's why the last name always comes first on documents, because that is your will, your last will and testament, to be known and protected as that name. Okay, the Christian name thus goes bye-bye, and so do all God-given rights, or i.e. natural rights, unalienable rights. A person is always in lien. And so you have the sophisticator who adulterates, who injures, and again, injure just means to bring under the law. The only way you can do that is to give someone a person by foreign admixture of the names. Sophistication, again, adulterating, the act of adulterating, a counterfeiting or debasing the purity of something in a foreign admixture. So, I mean, you think about it, what is citizenship but sophistication? What is the United States? It's the sophisticator. What is Trump now the president of, and what is he the main, he's the main sophisticator. He's the head honcho now of the entirety of this holding company for slaves. And when I say slave, remember, when you're sitting or operating in commerce in the property or person of another, the status of another, well, then you're bound by the law of that thing, that person, and therefore you're a slave. It's that simple. Just like a hard drive becomes the slave, an external hard drive becomes the slave of your master drive, or a horse is a slave to he who drives the horse, well, sorry, but that's what that's what government is, right? It's mind control. It's just so brilliant when you do figure out these words, what they mean, how they actually apply to us, and you realize you are sophisticated. You have been sophisticated. You've been brought into a legal system, an artificial system of fiction, where everything is sophistry, amazingly, if you think about it. Money is sophistry, and it's an exercise in logic. It's purely logical to people to use money, even though the consequences, the intent or the implied law behind it is very frightening and very large. I just wish there was some way to get people to see that. Well, as to these protesters, one of the reasons I finally figured out why protesting is so stupid first of all, no one ever protests in the right place, right? If you're going to protest, you're going to protest in the place. Where's the place? Well, it's Washington, D.C. What use are you going to do walking through streets, breaking windows, and harming people who are completely without, you know? I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's great for government, because as long as they can, you know, get you fighting amongst yourselves and harming each other, then you're not harming them, and they don't have to call the military out, then you'll never know that you're under martial law. So that's great for them. But I noticed, you know, every protest has nothing to do with the place where the crimes are happening. You had Occupy Wall Street, where nobody was actually occupying Wall Street. Well, why? Of course, they have Wall Street blocked off from such things. And so people were occupying parks. That's why we officially named it Occupy Park, not anything else. And so people are protesting. People are protesting the Federal Reserve, and yet I never see anybody protesting at our local Federal Reserve here in Salt Lake City. I never see anybody standing in front of the Federal Reserve. I don't see any graffiti on it. I don't see anything actually happening on the Federal Reserve building or at the Federal Reserve building. I never see any protests that actually do anything. And you know what? Again, that's perfectly fine for government, just like all your petitions. You know, as long as you're putting your actions into petitions, you know, then you're not stringing up a rope and hanging your politicians. It's simple as that. As long as they can keep you busy, as long as you're protesting in the wrong place or in the designated free speech area with a free speech permit, well, then what the fuck do they care what you do? You can go and you can beat all those windows in. That's great for the insurance companies. That's great for all the... I mean, there's so many positive things that come out of these protests, but never anything positive for us. All the positives go to government. They can bring out their police, beat the heads of people. They can get some more fines and taxes, and they can raise their, well, you know, after that last protest, we're going to need a tank here in the local police department. We're going to need more militarization and more tear gas and more of this. Congratulations, you just gave them an excuse to literally to stock up on more death machines. I don't know. What do you think your protests are doing? They're doing absolutely nothing, because you're not protesting, one, to the right people. Your protests go unheard. You're walking around like a bunch of fucking idiots, like a bunch of cavemen throwing rocks. But back to the original question. How are these things even getting started, man? When we tried to start protests or tried to start... even have a meeting, for God's sake, just a planning meeting to do anything. You know, where in the hell are these people getting the money and the ability to call together so many people to protest? You know how hard it is to get people to protest or to care? I gotta tell you, it's very, very difficult. So what the hell is happening here? Why is it that that this is... how is it this is happening? I guarantee... well, we know the answer to that. I'm asking a rhetorical question, really. We know that all these groups, funded by men like Soros and other billionaires, are funding these things, these organizations, and they're able to organize lots of protesters to come out and do things like they're doing, to act stupidly, to act moronically, like I said, to throw rocks like children. Because the more and more they can show the mentality of the common person out there, the more and more they can ramp up their systems. The more and more they can beat as many heads as they want. I don't know why that's not clear, but okay. Don't know how that works. Let's see. I was trying to bring Greg in today. See, I know we always have to. We always have issues trying to connect for some reason on Skype, but let's see if it works this time. Greg, do we have you?
Yes. Good morning, good morning. Sorry I had to do a reboot.
A reboot?
Yeah, sometimes little issues with my computer when I got too many windows open.
Of course.
From work.
Well, we were just talking about the election and the protests, if you want to call them that, the organized psyops, basically.
Oh, yes, they are.
Well, yeah, and I'm just, it's bringing out the sort of mentality in people and the concept that we, you know, it's such a great excuse for government to just ramp up its militarization, you know, federalize and you know, be more organized in control of the plebes. Governments love protests. Government loves petition. Government loves anything that's not actually doing anything or that's not taken, you know, that they can throw in the trash, essentially. Government loves your emails. Government loves anything you do. Government loves the fact that people out there still, after all this time, say, write or call your congressman.
Mm-hmm.
And they never get the congressman. They always get the secretary. The secretary says she'll pass on the message, goes into a computer, into basically a trash file. They love that because, again, that's a form of consenture. That's a form of acceptance. It's a form of saying that you respect the system and their decisions. It's just, again, another form of sophistication to add to this whole thing.
Well, that's true. I mean, we live in very interesting times, you know, to say the least. The system is going through its, I think it's going through its, we'll put it this way. They know exactly what they're doing with it. And that to bring about changes in it, they have to create a chaotic situation. I personally don't think they counted on this. I'll give you a big meme. One of the big memes is that, you know, Hillary won the popular vote. She didn't win the popular vote at all.
How do you figure?
When you take in the voter fraud, the dead people that voted. In most city districts, like I'll give you an example, in Philadelphia, 140% of all registered voters voted. So, and under election law, because there was so much voter fraud in so many districts, particularly in the big cities, that they would have to be thrown out. So, I mean, they've estimated that there's nearly 3 million dead people voted in this election.
So, and yet we have quotes from history that say, you know, any Roosevelt said anything that happens in politics, you can bet it was planned that way.
Well, I think this might be an exception because they knew that in order for the only way Trump could win with the voter fraud that was going to that had already been pre-planned, that was structured and built into the cake, and he had to get 70% of the popular vote in order for him to overcome the voter fraud. Now, they probably messed up because they didn't, in states like North Carolina, Ohio, they certainly did it in Florida and other key states that like Michigan, which they thought was a slam dunk. So they didn't get out the voter fraud. You know, a lot of dead people didn't vote in those states. I think they were completely caught by surprise that he wound up winning. And we know that December 19th is when the Electoral College gets together to ordain the president. And they're trying to start this purple revolution nonsense, you know, with the protesters and all that to try and, you know, basically force the landowners to say, oh, no, we want Hillary. And I don't think they're going to do that. Too much of a majority of people out there voted for Trump. And so I think they got to, and they don't care realistically. They got to wait another 20 years. So what? Yeah.
See, and I'm looking at this, you know, I'm looking at who backed the Trump campaign. I'm looking at his supporters. I'm looking at what they're saying about him. I'm looking at his children, all happen to be married to Jews. I look at a lot of aspects about Trump, and I'm starting to see the guy in a very, very different picture. In fact, I'm gonna have to officially disagree with you, and I'm gonna have to say that this especially was planned, because there does need to be some change, and the only way they can really say justify the change is to have a change, what they call a change candidate, which is the, you know, not the non-incumbent, basically.
And, oh, well, you know that, so, you know that the Jews really fall into two different camps. One being the, you know, the B'nai B'rith camp. Those are what I call the Abraham Lincoln guys, you know, that wear the black hats and the heavy coats and the dreidels. Very, very powerful. They control the diamond trade as well as several other key industries, you know, in finance. And they have a very, very, they believe in this thing called the year 6000 prophecy, bringing about the end of the world, where they, you know, they destroy all life on earth, and then God puts the Jews at the pinnacle and, you know, brings back everybody. Now, that's when all of the Goyim become the Jew slave. And now these people believe that. Now there's another faction, which you could call them the Reformed, okay, the Reformed Jews. These are the guys that walk around in the business suits. You know, these are the ones that they don't want to necessarily end what's going on right now, because they happen to be enjoying their lives. They are enjoying the pinnacle of power, pinnacle of wealth. Their children are going to the best schools. They have all the best toys. And they don't want to see that part of it end. So when I look at Donald Trump and I see the Jews that are supporting him, I think that's what's supported. There's an internal battle that's going on inside Israel. You know, no question about it.
Well, that's all.
What we call the body politic of Israel, you know, the Jewish power structure around the world, which, you know, encompasses just about every nation now. You know, they're all over the place.
Well, yeah, that's just it. I mean, when you go back to the protocols and the Talmudic law, the Talmud is their civil law, you know, you find that they, of course, they're playing both sides. And of course, they, again, what they want and what the plan that they stick to is are two different things, right? So, you know, well, desire.
According to their prophecy, All right. Their 6,000 prophecy was supposed to take place back in 2007, 2008. That was supposed to be the end of the world. And they keep getting, they're not getting what they want. Let's put it that way. So I think this is a, I think it's an internal battle. And, you know, wealth and power and politics and, you know, the B'nai B'rith type, which was firmly behind Hillary Clinton, because they know she's a psycho, she's controlled, will begin. You know, that's the Bush-Clinton crime family there. These are people that have made their entire fortunes on the destruction of other people's lives. I mean, they are, after all, in charge of the drug trade. You know, whether we're talking about the Golden Triangle or Afghanistan, I mean, these people, this is what they do.
Yeah. So if it's a 6,000-year calendar, or we're in 2016 right now, it's the 12th of Sheshvan, 5777, according to the Hebrew, the Jewish Hebrew calendar. So that's
there's a debate inside that, you know, there are these, I don't want to call them the Orthodox Jews because I don't, I'm not all familiar with all their terms, but I know that there is a very strong faction. I believe that Netanyahu is part of that faction, the B'nai B'rith faction, that believes that we've already surpassed that date. So we need to bring about the end of the world, you know, quickly to fulfill their prophecy. Then the other side says, no, we haven't reached it yet. We still have more time. Then internalized, that's an internal conflict.
Oh. I saw the other day, I saw that, and I thought this was very strange, that I don't know if it was actually the president of Israel, but someone, some group, something, somewhere in Israel reached out to both Trump and to Putin in Russia to help rebuild the third temple in Israel. Did you hear about that?
Yes. Yeah, that is the reformed. You see, it's all these people that call themselves the tribes of Israel, like Great Britain. You know, it's these secret societies that believe that we have to, before we can have the tribulation, we have to rebuild the temple. Mm-hmm. It would be the fulfillment of prophecy. And the election of Hillary Clinton was the fulfillment of Revelation 17:4, that the harlot would ride in to Rome on the back of the beast and rain death down upon humanity. But the temple has to be rebuilt first. So, yeah, I think that definitely Trump is part of that group. So... But we have to see what happens with what comes up. We're going to know probably in the next 5 or 6 months. Now, if he turns out to be like we're talking about, it wouldn't surprise me. But on the other hand, he might not. We just, you know, we don't know yet. We have to wait and see.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't think people have considered the fact that this guy is way more of an evil than Clinton ever could be. I mean, the guy's been in organized crime for a very long time. The first thing he said in the debates is that he had all these people that were debating him, he already had them in their pockets, in his pockets, you know?
I don't know if he was a participant in organized crime. I do know that he certainly had to get along with people who were in it.
Well, organized, I mean, to call it organized crime, it's a huge, huge, you know, massive thing. It essentially includes all those corporations. So, I don't know, man. I just think that I think without really quite comprehending it, we put someone in there who is going to finagle things like we can't even imagine they can be finagled. I don't know how to explain it. I have a very bad feeling about Trump because I've been looking at his sponsors. I've been looking at who's supporting him, and every single one of them is pro-Israel, well, for the most part, they are Jews. They're all Zionists, I should say. Much more important to put that notion. And I always go back to the I'm looking at the immigration. I'm seeing a fulfillment in my mind anyway. Maybe I'm incorrect, but to me, Greg, it seems like we are seeing a fulfillment of that sort of infamous letter from Albert Pike to Mazzini that says the third world war will let the Muslims and the Zionist supporters, the Zionists, and remember, you don't have to be Jewish to be Zionist, basically kill each other. When I look at that quote and I see the infiltration and the purposeful, refugee situation and all that, I have to stop and wonder if that is not another, prophecy being forcibly fulfilled. I listen to these Muslim people who are the leaders of groups and societies and stuff, very similar to, anybody that can make a bunch of Americans go out and protest an election, etc. Most people are followers. And I look at this and I'm saying, is this, with what he said his campaign is going to be, which is to basically to cease to allow Muslims to exist in this country, are we seeing the fulfillment of that strange sort of prophecy from Albert Pike?
Perhaps.
Are we seeing a war amongst ourselves? Not a war like we're used to, but a fifth generation warfare tactic to turn race against race. Religion against religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, very, very possibly. I think right now it's just too early to tell. I mean, we're going to find out in the next 6 months. I mean, we just don't know. We can't at this point make any presumptions about anything because there is the possibility that he was put up there to be the patsy, not to be the torchbearer, but to be the patsy because it caught them all off guard, and they pissed him off. Now we will see, very soon what happens, but we might even see if, because, they're meeting with him and they're discussing things and, this is how your presidency is going to go. And if he doesn't agree, well, then we could have that, which I think would be if the Electoral College on December 19th said, no, Hillary won. This country would shut down. The protests that are going on right now, that's nothing compared to what would happen if that happened. People would suddenly become Christ-like in a hurry. So,
well, I don't know, man. It's an interesting, like you said, that curse, by the way, it is a curse that we may live in interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
See, I look at it different. Yeah, sure, voter fraud, all that stuff. But I anymore, I can't imagine that these people make, if you want to call it a mistake, I just can't see it. I just can't see that something unplanned actually happens. Nothing ever happens that's unplanned in politics. I've never seen anything unplanned in politics. We know about all the, for instance, the false flags that got us into all the wars. We know about everything at this point. Everything has been disclosed. So you're telling me that the, for once in history that the election wasn't controlled. That one time in history that they just didn't quite do enough corruption to get it. Now, I can understand getting the vote close, getting it so close that it's like a reality fucking TV show between two singers, right, that are about to take the title. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But what I can't accept, in my mind anyway, with all my years of doing this, is that they let it get away from themselves. I just...
It does happen occasionally, and they're not... I think that it has happened in the past. We can't say never that they've had situations that didn't go as planned, because it is a chaotic situation. They figured that they had the majority of voters really under control through the media. It's always worked for them before. Whenever they degrade or denounce a single candidate and the media goes all against that candidate, you can just look back in recent history to the 90s with Bob Dole running against Clinton and how they demonized him, or even or John McCain running against Obama in the first time. You know,
that doesn't, you know, again, we can't think of that as if Bob Dole or, you know, any of these guys it's sacrificing a piece in chess.
Right. Yeah. They're set up. They're pawns in that game. They know they're going to lose.
Right. So again, that's all purposeful. There's nothing that happens in politics that isn't purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I keep going back to this and going, there's no way that this could have happened on accident. It's impossible.
Well, on the other side, too, remember, he's an egomaniac, right? We know that about Trump. His ego is as big as his buildings. And he's not a politician by trade.
Well, let me ask you this.
He just deals with them. So
let me ask you this, because I've kind of got an ongoing theory when I look at the modern day, you know, from about the 50s, maybe earlier on, where things got televised and you could actually sit in your living room and you could actually watch an election process, the debate process, especially in the 60s with the debates between Gore Vidal and what's his name? You know, when all that race stuff was happening back in the 60s, we're all looking at Trump, right? And we were looking at Obama, and we were looking at Bush, and we were looking at these sort of celebrity, if you will, faces, right? The especially Obama, who had no experience whatsoever, and admitted, you know, that he had no experience. Like about a, I don't know, 9 months before he announced he was going to run for president, he said, "Oh, I'm not going to run for president. I don't have enough experience." He, I mean, anybody could say that. He had no experience. Came out from nowhere and was suddenly a senator. So I'm saying, what, you know, we had Dick Cheney. Right, who just is this horrible, horrible, you know, businessman get into office. We have, George Bush was also a senior, was also a vice president. He was head of the CIA. We have these vice presidents. Now we have this guy Pence, but I don't hear anybody talking about Pence. So the question I have, and this is, I think, very important to consider, that the vice president is actually the president of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's his position. If the Senate ties, he's the final vote. Right?
He's the tiebreaker, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I look at this and I'm going, all right, the Senate is really where all the power is. The Congress is really where all the power is. What comes from the Congress builds the executive. The executive started with nothing. The Congress gives the president all of his external powers. Congress gives president the power to be a dictator. They can take that away anytime they want, the whole emergency war powers things. Congress makes all the laws for the president, tells what the president can and cannot do. Don't be confused, folks, by what the president can do, because Congress is the one that allows them and makes the law of what the rules of what a president can do. And the president follows that very much, even when he's against Congress, even when he bats down a congressional bill. Congress gave him that power, right? It's not, again, it's all controlled. It's not the illusion that we have a check and balance system. That's all bullshit. So I'm saying maybe we should actually start looking at who these vice presidents are, because they get very, very little news coverage. They get very little press, and they go in there, and you never see them. They very seldom give a speech. Right, we had Biden.
Yeah, they do. They have a besides being the president of the Senate, it's more ceremonial. They go to like state funerals and
that's what they tell us.
Ceremonies and cocktail parties, and they hobnob around a bit. I mean, Bush was the one I think really changed all that. You know, being that he was behind Reagan, and I think after Reagan was shot, that Bush came forward.
How many times did you see Reagan, for instance, who, by the way, was a spokesmodel for cigarettes and other nice, fine products? How many times have we seen in history where someone will come up and tell Reagan to shut up or change, and he'll just bow to him and say, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We talk about the presidents being puppets. Maybe we should actually start looking at that as a true statement and looking at who's alongside the president, because I mean, Biden is the guy with all the experience. Obama had nothing. Before that, it was Bush and Cheney. Cheney being this horrific businessman. Bush being, you know, for all intents and purposes, just a sort of a failed businessman. But
oh no, I wouldn't say that. His business. Listen, the Bushes are. The Bush family has been running the narco trade for many years.
The family, yes. Not so much
their businesses are front covers, and they made him. I never bought into that George Bush is a buffoon, George W. Bush is a buffoon.
Well, no, I'm not saying that at all.
I think I've purposely made him out. They put him into businesses that they knew would fail because they wanted him to make him look like adult.
All you have to do is look at his early speeches when he was running for governor to know that the whole presidential idiot Bush was an act.
Of course. Yep,
in my opinion, he was the greatest orator I've ever heard before all of a sudden, started acting. But this is why I say, I mean, these guys, they're very happy to play their part. That's their legacy. George Bush's legacy to me is that he actually fooled people into thinking he was a fool, right?
That was his greatest trick, yes.
Right. So, but you know, I'm looking at presidents now, and I'm saying, you know, these guys, none of them are really fit to be president, but the vice president is always fit to be president.
Yeah, and if you look at Pence, he is what you might call a very establishment Republican, he has to give you pause. Absolutely.
So you're putting in the bloodline, right? It's kind of like the kings, you know. Kings sit on their throne and stay in their castle and give orders, but the real work is happening out there with his second in command, his first in command, right? What that's the vice president, right? That's the governors. I'm sitting here. I'm really starting to consider that all of our talk and all of our worry about these two candidates might be for naught, just because what we really did was we voted popularly, gave our consent to the Electoral College to elect the bloodline, whichever one it was. You know, we know that Trump is the 11th cousin direct of the kings of England, and we know Hillary is too, and we know that they are 15th cousins, right? So it's not as if we from the same grandmother. So it's not as if we had a choice. We're getting the family, no matter what we do, as it is always. It seems to me that maybe we're not looking in the right place for what's actually happening. That writing the coattails of the bloodline is someone who is less qualified to be the bloodline choice, but more qualified to be president. Mm-hmm. Way more qualified. Just a theory.
Well, I mean, Trump could be one. It could be. Again, none of us really know. Everything at this particular point is speculation. There's always one that doesn't quite follow the plan, goes rogue, so to speak. Maybe he's one of those.
I mean,
we will have to see. We don't know yet. I mean, it's just too early to tell. I think this shocked him. I don't think he was. I don't think he was. He knew he was ahead in the polls. He knew he was ahead in early voting, like in Florida, Ohio, and Texas. He was creaming her. But he also knew that the fraudulent votes, the absentee votes, the dead people vote, that wasn't going to take place till closer to election day. So, but he was way, way ahead. And I think even the Clinton campaign knew that they were probably in the last week getting a bit worried because they were being told it's going to be a lot closer than they thought. I mean, they want to make it close, but. It wound up being a lot different than a lot of people expected. So, and you know what? If he comes in and he makes a couple of tweaks, like yesterday, they are floating this trial balloon about paying off the bonds. You know, we got $12 trillion in bonds that are going to be rolling over in March. And we're looking at, this fake, bogus economy, you know, really coming to a screeching halt. And he's saying, don't worry about it. We'll do what Lincoln did. We'll, you know.
Yeah, but wasn't he warning about collapse as well?
Well, yeah, because the system's fake. We know that. All right, but. Reality, you know, perception is reality. And all these digits on a page have, you know, the debts have been racked up on a global basis so high that no one is immune from the collapse. I don't care where they're from. Okay, this has enriched many people. And a game was played with the low interest money. You know, the people like Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett could borrow money from a bank, $1 billion from the central bank at 0.5% interest rates. Of course, you and I could never do that. Then he could take that money and turn around and buy corporations and other assets that would make him much, much richer. In fact, his net worth grew from $17 billion to $72 billion since 2009. And most of that came after 2010 when the quantitative easing program started. So this is piracy. This is looting. And, you know, all throughout history, pirates have risen and then pirates have fallen because it's not a sustainable model over the long term. Maybe it's brought about to bring about their prophecy, right? Create such economic turmoil that war is the only solution. But sometimes the best laid plans between mice and men don't quite work out. And this little thing that I know people poo-poo it, but we live in the age of rapid communication with this internet thing. And I think they developed it and put it out there to be a means of control. And it's, to a degree, you know, it is, but on the other side, you know, every action causes a reaction. Certain things have happened that they did not anticipate. Well, that's my theory.
And that's all great, but we cannot ever forget that all things are planned. And so if that is a true statement, the best case scenario for us is that, again, two of their candidates were propped up into the left and to the right, two pillars that support each other and absolutely try to destroy each other until one pillar stands, but the base, the foundation of that pillar is the same. So at best, we, and I say we loosely, got the best suit or the best pantsuit, right? We didn't earn or gain anything because we elected the candidates that they put up. So at best, we got their second choice for president, which is their first choice.
Well, I would only disagree with you in the fact that when we're talking about the rebuilding of the temple and fulfilling their prophecy, that they want to bring about revelations. And revelations, like I said, 17:4 is that the harlot rides into Rome on the back of the beast and rains death down upon humanity.
Well, words like harlot aren't references necessarily to single individuals. Very seldom are they. The fourth beast, for instance, is blatantly, obviously, the United Nations, for instance, you know, that kind of thing. The beast system is the mark of the beast, that kind of thing. These are not,
The event is marked by... But it is marked by the ruling of a female. Okay? And I think they remember, it was Hillary herself that suggested Donald Trump, you know, run for president because they were looking for the patsy, the easy, you know, the somebody that had absolutely no chance. And I think at the very beginning, they didn't take him seriously at all. They thought, there's no way this guy becomes president. Just because.
But you're saying, again, Greg, you're saying that like you're watching a reality show, forgetting that all reality shows are fake. They're Hollywood productions. They're told there's a producer and a director behind every corner telling these people what to say. Hey, you be enemies, you be friends. Hey, you have sex. You're talking about this like Hillary literally said that. In a random statement that wasn't planned. And I think that's a very dangerous thought pattern.
No, because listen, a lot of these people believe that this stuff is reality, right? And in fact, to them it is, because they're, you know, for many people in the world, they actually believe our system is, you know, that it's based in reality.
Not the players.
Strings aren't being pulled. The actors are given a script, but it's not... But it's not all what you think. There is a great degree of, you know, the system is autonomous. It does run on its own. You can only control so much of it. The rest of it is they deal with the fringes. These things happen from time to time. They all do. Right. The system's built in that is going to happen. Sure. It's not all structured.
Tell me another time it happened. Because President Roosevelt completely disagrees with you, as do many other presidents who've said similar quotes, that nothing in politics is ever an accident.
Nothing amongst the political class, but this is, I think this is something a little bit different. I think they set up Trump to be the patsy, you know, to take the easy fall, and it didn't quite work out that way. He's a bit more of a showman than they had expected. Nobody would listen to him. Nobody would show up at his rallies. He would be, he's an extremist guy. You know, he talks about grabbing women by the pussy, blah, 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 blah. But in the meantime, he was saying the right things, and people, you know, the average person out there today is suffering. You have 100 million people in this country who are underemployed or unemployed, 50 million people on food stamps. They believe in this thing called America. They don't know that it's all a construct. They really believe in, quote unquote, that Constitution. That's a chaos factor. And he goes out and speaks to them And they figured, well, with the media pressure and with the influence they have control over media, academia, and other things, that there would be no way he would never be able to pull people in, enough people out to vote, because he's just a buffoon and nobody would take him seriously. But they what would Bush say? Misunderestimated him. You know, a Bushism. You know, and look what happened. Boom. So ego is a very powerful thing. And you know that he's got a huge ego. He wasn't just going to sit and take a failure laying down. And I think there's people within the government itself. There are people that believe in this crap all the way through the apparatchik, you know, in the military. And they want to see people in the... It's just like, we can't say that everybody in the government is bad. They get into it because they think that this thing is real. And it's, you can't say all cops are bad, right? Even though you and I both know that the whole idea of policing is a sham. But if you talk to the average cop, they don't know that. They think they're getting into something good.
That's such a difficult thing to explain to people, because that goes back to that foundational law: never respect titles, never respect fictional authorities, that kind of thing. So, I mean, if you're being harassed by a police, then you're calling someone else God, right? Because they're just agents of some other god, so some other magistrate, some other government that is. You know, anyway, we all know that. But because I thought it was so damn hilarious, almost ludicrous, to actually see that concert, that was that Hillary threw at the last minute, I don't know if it was an act of desperation or is that just the way the Democratic Party works, that it just it tries to appeal to as many completely uneducated people as it possibly can to go vote, an empty vote, basically. Oh, that bitch, she gave me a free concert, therefore I'm going to vote for that bitch. Well, let me just quote from Jay-Z. Because we did have the comments, that were so prescient from Donald Trump. I wanted to just read the lyrics from one of the songs here. Again, this is supposedly a concert that is to support Hillary for president. After all the just all of the crap that she did about misogyny and treating women, this is Bitches and Sisters. Bitch, you know my name and the company I own. Bitch, you like my style and you smell my cologne. Bitch, don't try to act like my track record ain't known. Bitch, you probably got a couple CDs in your home. Bitch, don't make me say it twice. You acting all uptight. Also, Diddy, like. You ain't a bitch. I ain't no ball player. You ain't gonna get pregnant again. Hit off with paper, you're gonna get hit off and slid off before the neighbors take off to go to work. So just take off your shirt. Don't hit me with that church shit. Bitch, I got a sister who schooled me to shit you chickens do. Tricking fools. Got a whole Robin Givens crew that I kick it to. They be hippin' dudes, how you chickens move. I be listening to bitch, bitch, bitch. Don't make me say it thrice. You acting all uptight. Also, Diddy, like. Oh, it goes on. You ain't a bitch. You ain't no better because you don't be fucking rappers. You only fuck with actors. You still getting fucked backwards, bitch. Unless you fucked a dude on his own merit and not the way he dribbles or ball or draw leverage. You're a bitch. No, Ma, you're a bitch. Say, Jay-Z, why you gotta go and disrespect the woman for, Bitch! Sisters get respect. Bitches get what they deserve. Sisters work hard. Bitches work your nerves. Sisters hold you down. Bitches hold you up. Sisters help you progress. Bitches will slow you up. Sisters cook up a meal, play their role with the kids. Bitches in street with their nose in your biz. Sisters tell the truth, bitches tell lies. Sisters drive cars, bitches want to ride. Sisters give up the ass, bitches give up the ass. They're similar. Sisters do it slow, bitches do it fast. Oh, that's the difference. Sisters do their dirt outside of where they live. Bitches have niggers all up in your crib. Sisters tell you quick, you better check your homie. Bitches don't give a fuck. They want to check for your homie. Sisters love Jay because they know how Hove is. I love my sisters. I don't love no bitch. And that is why you should vote for Hillary Clinton for president.
Well, it just tells you what they really, what their real true, what they think about black people in general. Well, you know, the only reason why she had that concert is because she knew that in order for her to make it look better, she had to bring in, she had to get 90% of the so-called black vote. And, you know, many black people didn't vote in this election. They weren't motivated by Hillary Clinton. Some were, but they, you know, it was down to, they got about 60, 65% of the black people voted in this election. Most of them sat out. Which was another reason why she lost. Yeah. So it's, I think it's funny watching them go through their public hissy fit, trying to explain it away.
Well, again, I
and
I don't know. I don't know.
Many wealthy people around the country were shorting currencies based on Hillary winning the election. And when Trump won, they lost their shirts. I mean, they're billionaires. Yeah. I mean, they could lose a billionaire. Billionaire is not going to affect their lives, but that doesn't mean they are happy they about lost. Losing.
They, you know, you got to think these are crooks, right? So while they might have lost their shirts, someone else gained their shirts.
Oh yeah, yeah. Over $40 billion transferred to, you know, counterparties this week, just on the election results. The people betting against in the currency markets, you know, they went long on the Mexican peso, and they bet against the yuan that those would you know, that they would actually rise, and then when Trump comes in, boom, they fall. So is that a fix? Everything in finance is so heavily manipulated these days that hey, we just have to wait and see.
I guess so. Yeah. It'd be interesting. It would be interesting to trace some of the put options and the, you know, the bets against the currency and everything back to these two candidates and their constituents, because that would give you a picture of what they knew and what they didn't know.
Oh, well, exactly. Exactly, but...
I, I got another aspect of this that I wanted to run past you. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're in the era of absolute, you know, basically the era of trying to basically destroy any positive thinking towards white people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lessons learned, one of the well understood aspects of this election was the notion that hey, turns out white people might be more than just a minority at this point. Hey, look, white people can actually still make a difference, and that seems to piss people off, you know, a lot, because of course white people are the majority owners of the rural areas, the lands and the farms, because, hey, that's America. That's how it's been since 1770, whatever, right? I mean, that's who populated this area, and then who brought slaves over and indentured servants over and et cetera, et cetera. So it would be no surprise at all to consider that the white population is more of a rural population. The whites are moving out of the cities because they're being corrupted so heavily with refugees, etc. Gangs, you know, people that are anti-white. Well, where the fuck would you go, right? I mean, mm-hmm. People for some reason, white people seem to have this reputation where they cannot be harmed or a minority or whatever it is. So I wonder if that has something to do with this. If this is perceived as being played off to instigate even more anger and false, you know, rioting, just in the regards that, oh, those evil white people came out of the and ruined this election, right? That kind of thing. Like, those damn white people shouldn't even be allowed to vote. Like, wait, what the fuck's happening here? I wonder if that's
part. I have heard that already. That has been floated out there.
What's that?
There's the whole thing that the reason why Trump is. The reason why white people have to go is because Trump became president. It's another angle of it. They're, you know, they have floated that tribal. Now they're out to try and conquer and divide us all. There's no question about that.
Also, yeah, I mean, so at some point, this is, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier. The question becomes, will this become a defensive war? Well, I mean, for white people specifically, will this end up becoming a defensive war simply because, like in Germany, we were forced to take in, you know, people, even though Germans didn't have the lands to support this, resources to support all those people, including the Jews. And then when the Jews wanted to leave, they wanted to take all the wealth with them, right? Well, wait a minute. Doesn't that spell war? Doesn't that mean that the people of Germany would have to stand up and say, hell no, you're not stealing everything from us. You come in here, you do all this shit. Well, isn't that exactly what's happening to this country? Isn't really what's happening? Aren't we being put, you know, and I say that we, I mean, specifically considered Caucasian white persons, whatever, aren't we kind of being put into a position where even though we're a totally peaceful, completely gullible people, we are being put in a position where we might actually have to fight just to defend ourselves, where all of a sudden the color of our skin, which is no color, is the most hated thing because of all this propaganda against us?
I think that's been their mission for the last 50 years, to bring about that type of crisis. We're almost in the middle of it. Absolutely. So you can tell. Hey, look what the And it has to be changed. How do you change that without? How do you change that without it getting bloody? Now, getting bloody can be just simply allowing them to get rid of their purge their own, you know, their own bad people. Let's take blacks for instance. When you go into any inner city in this country, you have decent black people that live there, that work, that have jobs, that are just trying to live and survive and do the best for the families. And then you have the street thugs. The street thugs, they rob, rape, steal from their own. And those people, those black people, they can't stand them. But they know that they're in a bad position. They would do something about them if they could, but the laws are saying to them, no, you're not allowed to do anything about it. Could you imagine if those restrictions were lifted and said, purge your own? I think that's a possibility. What might happen in the future is they'll be allowed to purge their own. And when that day comes, watch out. You're going to see many of these street thugs are going to be no more.
Well, and that seems to be the meme, right? Is that all of these crimes that are committed against people, against the common people who are completely cowed by the law? It seems that their crimes are protected. That protected in a way, like you said, that you can't, you know, if you fight back, then you're going to be the one that goes to jail. If someone breaks into your home and you shoot them, you could go to jail. If someone follows through your skylight and breaks their leg while trying to rob your house, you'll have to pay for their injury, right? This kind of weirdness. It seems almost like the law is the legal law, of course, which is opposed to rationality and logic, it is completely on the side of the crooks, which includes corporations like Trump Industries and the Clinton Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Very well so. But, again, just stay tuned. The next 6 months are going to be fascinating to watch. Where a lot of things will be, we're going to learn a lot of things here soon. We might even see a purge, who knows? Hey, can I take a 5-minute break from you? I have to use the restroom here really quick.
No resting.
I'll be right back with you. Let me just go take care. All right.
Here's a little article. The misogyny apocalypse. Turns out being white and male counts for more than intelligence, grace, or decency. Wow. That's not going to piss anybody off. I don't know. Something's going on here, folks, and I'm not one to usually promote I will stand by the Bible, where it says that the meek shall inherit the earth, and the meek are the prepared. The meek are not just prepared in the prepper, you know, mentality, but the spiritual mentality. No one in their right mind would actually go and join one of these protests or go and try to fight or even leave their home for, you know, if you don't need to. There's no reason to participate in earthly political things, like, again, things that self-evidently have no actual purpose or goal. They're just basically organized chaos. That's what these protests are. You have absolutely no reason to be part of this. You want to be meek. You want to be the prepared. You want to be the wise one. You want to have that wisdom that says, "I'm too good for this. I'm too smart to allow this type of vulgarity to take over my right-mindedness." That's what the whole thing seems to be revolved around, is literally to drag you down into that place.
Yeah, it's childish, foolishness, sophomoric. People acting like babies. You know, you get too many of them doing that, then you got to bring the whole system down, don't they? How many of them were protesting in L.A. yesterday? I saw a video of it. It looked like hundreds of thousands.
That's what I'm saying. And like I said, at the beginning of the show, we used to try to actually, in We Are Change, get people together to do some actions and protesting and hold up banners. We couldn't get anybody. I mean, it's so hard to organize that type of thing. So you know that if hundreds of thousands of people are showing up to protest, that they are being herded like fucking cattle by the powers that be, Soros and all that.
Yep, Soros funded all of that. And what was that? One of the police officers in Dallas, family of one of the police officers that was killed, if that's a true story, but maybe it is, who knows, with the Black Lives Matter, with the sniper, back, I guess, in the spring. Family is suing George Soros for $550 million. Not that that does anything to him. But if he's successful, then anybody who's been hurt by any of these people, any of these animals, it could be, if the family wins that case, George Soros might be depleted of a lot of his money. We'll have to see. He can buy people very cheap.
Nowadays, especially. No one should be surprised that it was men, especially white men, who handed Trump this election. It's been exhaustively established that the majority of white men in this country are consumed with resentment at being expected to treat women and racial minorities as equals. Though, of course, some liberal journalists, usually white men themselves, kept valiantly trying to claim that it was economic insecurity that somehow drove the most prosperous group of Americans to kick angrily at those who objectively make less money and have less status than they do. Now, does that sound like good reporting to you?
Absolutely not. That's total garbage. Total identity politics nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, crap. Unbelievable. Here's another one. A rash of racist attacks have broken out in the U.S. after Donald Trump. At what point was Donald Trump actually being racist?
Never.
That's my question, because I know he said, hey, let's close the border and put a door in the wall for legal people to come through, but I don't remember him actually being what at least what traditionally was called, or he certainly didn't have Jay-Z calling everybody niggers, pimps, and hoes. So I don't understand how is it that this stuff is. Well, I mean, I know the answer, Craig. It's because people like you and me allow it to happen. I mean, we are sort of sitting back, basically allowing our ethnic group to be completely tossed under the bus for no reason whatsoever.
I would say we're doing our part. I don't know how many people are listening, how many people are going to listen to this in archives. But it's it's spreading out there. People are starting to get it. It's a little slow for my taste, but it's happening. Other than that, why would we want to go out there and spread a revolution of some kind on this? This is all, it's a psychological war. This is military psyops that we're fighting against.
Sure.
That's all it is. More than anything else, this media is totally controlled by, you know, things, agencies like the CIA, and they're putting these stories out very purposely to divide people.
Well, it's so funny because the people that want to be divided are divided. They've divided themselves into small towns, into rural communities. They've moved out to the farm. They're already divided, you know. And of course, you see all these neighborhoods that are strictly a specific race, which you very seldom see anymore with white people, unless they have planned it that way. And only the white people seem to be antagonized for that fact, which, again, you know, I've never understood, and we're not supposed to understand. It's not something that you can understand. It's not reasonable or logical. It's planned that way. It's planned chaos. So, you know, I'm so frustrated at all of this because it's so obvious, you know, to see what's happening. It's so obvious that people are being driven. I can't help but wonder at how many of these people actually get it and still participate in it anyway. Because, I mean, you know, you and me, Greg, come on. I mean, we know this whole system is rigged. We know the system is designed to do specifically what it does and get one of those, you know, members of the family in office. And yet we still have these incredible, incredible conversations about it, incredible research into it. We know it's a fixed rigged system that's never going to be changed. It's not changeable because it's not our system. And yet we still, you know, do this. So I kind of wonder how many people out there know that this is a big psyop. How many people out there know, and they're just latching on to it because they have nothing, they have no other enemy that they can comprehend except white men.
Yeah, you know, foolishness begets foolishness, but eventually over time, listen, if you and I had this conversation 20 years ago, you know, people would try to shoot us. What are the conversations going to be like in 20 years from now? Are we progressing down the right path? Maybe. Only time will tell. But we have so many people who are dissatisfied with the state of their lives. It's not. You know, when you look back at your own, when you look back at your parents' lives and your great grandparents' lives, it was easier for them to fall into this American dream thing, this matrix. And there are so many people that would go right back into that matrix, just like the movie, right? You put me back in. And you know, I want to be somebody important, like an actor. Okay? Is because life was so much easier because it was perceived to be so much simpler. It was never easy, but it was better. It was better when your father went to work, your mother stayed home, and he could bring home enough money to support and raise a family. You know, whole communities were built. This is the world I grew up in. I grew up in every single one of my neighbors and all of our friends, their mothers were home. It was a great time to be alive. Today, none of that. It's, what do they have? They have television, video games. They've got, they're so easily manipulated by the culture. All they have is this bankrupt, bereft culture that does nothing but pollute their minds.
the pursuit of money and the things that can be bought with money. And I figured out.
And I don't even think it's all that about money. I think it's the pursuit of hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure. Sure. That they'll go without the money so long as they can have some sort of substitute for it, something that gives them pleasure. Because life is so miserable that, well, I can't go for money. There's no way I'm going to make it, so I might as well pursue pleasure. So that's why, hey, I want to get high, going to get drugs, going to drink, do all these things to try and escape my reality.
And, of course, it's not reality. It's the Matrix.
There's the sobering moment that what you've been pursuing has been, it's all been just a clusterfuck that you've believed in. And you would have been better off not chasing that dream, or chasing your own, if I can use the word, independence, meaning instead of being a U.S. citizen looking to receive some sort of benefit from the system, try to pursue a private citizenry. I think that's very important. I think people should start doing that, get out of the system of control.
Well, unfortunately, when they do, where that's again, you know, you go into the land of the living, and you realize there's no entertainment, there's nothing there. It's just back to nature, and I think that's such a shock for people that you know, unless they can take all their toys out, which they can't. Because all those toys are registered property of the Matrix. Well, then where are you going to get people to go? So, I don't know. I thought a lot about money itself and how money. There is no such thing as lawful money or good money. It's just not possible. But there is certain aspects about money that could, I mean, overnight things would absolutely change. But it would take the actual creator and owner of that money to make these changes, which of course is the gods of government, the Congress. It would be so simple to because right now you have a system of money where the dollar is actually not based on any value. So the value can be set on, compared to any object, anything, the value can be set. And it has nothing else to do with other objects. It's just absolutely arbitrary. Which means no law. No law establishes anything. Or keeps anything as far as that. And so it's so simple to fix most of our problems. All you got to do is make the dollar a non-profit vehicle. That's all you got to do. Take the profit potential away from the dollar. And you say, by law, the dollar is worth a gallon of milk. The dollar is worth, let's say, half a dozen eggs. The dollar is worth, by law, as a standard, this much gold, this much silver. The dollar is valued in, a six-pack of soda. Whatever the commodities, the main commodities are, you value the dollar in those commodities and say it will never change. That no matter what the market is doing, no matter that is the value of the dollar, then all of a sudden at least you have something that has a set value. You have something that would drive other products to be less. And the wage aspect of the dollar would be more controllable because you know what a person needs to actually live. You'd actually be using the dollar as a tool of trade and nothing else, because you're taking the profit model away. You can't, you know, no more usury, no more. It would be so simple to fix the economy. And when I say fix the economy, I mean no more of this talk about expansion and all that shit. Fix the economy. We got everything we need. Fix the dollar to a set value like it was when it was based on gold, right? But make it even more fixed to the point where none of these markets can get away. You can't, you know, the notion that a gold coin from the 1700s is worth more than its value in gold, for instance, is patently ridiculous.
That's true, but they say that only because it's something that it's like a painting. Once it's been cast, the cast is then, you know, it's rare. It can't be reproduced, let's say. I mean, it could be, but...
But that would imply that every painting must have a value more than what, you know, it's ridiculous on the face of it.
Oh, it sure is.
That's, of course, that's mammon. That's the whole illusion of money in the first place, the whole illusion of valuation, you know, to the point where even men can have a value placed on them if they're called to slaves. And you can convince people that there is such a thing as a slave, then you have, you know, mammon wins. But it would be so easy, is all I'm saying, is if we could get rid of these fallacious thought, these sophisticated, you know, algorithms of monetary finance and value and making money on money, man, you could fix things tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow things would be fixed, literally. You have a lot of things going out of business, but all that would be is the equalization of things. That would be because those businesses don't deserve or have any business being in business. They're not needed. And
the only way that it gets fixed is for a substantial number of people to start becoming Christ-like. We've talked about this.
Well, sure, but that's not fixing the system. That's separating yourself from the system. That's a completely different ball game. That's actually taking yourself and circumcising yourself away from the system and starting your own thing. You know, the Bible's very clear that you're not to live amongst non-like-minded people. That's, you know, you don't live in a system of law and then pretend to follow God's law. You have to get the fuck away from that. So you wouldn't participate in the money system at all if you were actually Christian. This is why there are no Christians. Mm-hmm. So just like there are no atheists, because all those atheists out there, if you ask them for your ID, they're going to show you their driver's license, which means they're following the law. It's a ridiculous notion. The atheist, it's just atheism is just a complete, when I figured out atheism, it's just a complete fallacy based on the misunderstanding of the word God. That's all it is. All it is. You can defeat atheism. All you have to do to defeat atheism is to actually go into the Bible, read people the definition of the word Jehovah. There ain't no one out there that can deny reality, that can deny, except the nihilist, the anarchist. There's no one out there that can sit there and say, oh, no, I don't believe in God. Because when you say I don't believe in God, according to the Bible's definition, the Bible's intent for the word God, it's fucking nature, it's reality, it's existence itself. An atheist says, I don't believe in the existence of God. The Bible says God is existence itself. Therefore, the atheist is saying he doesn't even believe in himself.
Exactly.
Right? The existence of God is the existence of existence. You cannot sit there and say, I don't believe in God, because, you know, if you're taking in the intent of the Bible, and therefore the whole fucking atheist thing is a non sequitur. It's based on a complete mistranslation or misunderstanding of the word that they say they don't, you know, believe in the existence of. That's amazing when you think about it, that a whole lifestyle, a whole system of entertainment, etc., you hear it all over the place, can be based on just a complete misunderstanding of the intent of the word.
Ah, it gets us back to the root of the real problem. the language. English is a technology that is used against us.
True.
And it's not their job to make us smart. We have to figure it out. Or so our message, my message to people is, you know, learn the language. Understand the real meaning of the words you speak. That in the legal system, you're not living in a lawful system. You're living in a legal system that uses the language as a weapon against you.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about realizing that is that you realize atheism is a nihilistic kind of thing. It's based on a misunderstanding of the words. And then you realize, well, hey, I don't need religion because religion has nothing to do with, you know, that's making, yeah. I watched a video the other day. It said there is no justification or biblical reference to having churches with pastors in them. But the word pastor is used and it means herding sheep, you know, to pasture sheep. But there were no, you know, Jesus Christ is not portrayed in the Bible as going to a fucking church and sitting in front of a pastor. Right? That's not even in the ball game. It's not even like, you had the synagogues, which is where all the rich people went.
Yeah, he said go into the closet and pray by yourself.
Right. So you've got two sides of a coin that doesn't exist. You got the atheist and the quote unquote Christian. I'm amazed. I don't know how to communicate this to people that both religion and atheism is bullshit. It's bunk. It has nothing to do with the Bible. And that should, I would think that like me, that would actually bring people over and that they would start actually having more interest in what the Bible actually says, because if the Bible is against church and state, if the Bible has nothing to do with atheism or religion, well, then there must be some seriously cool shit going on in the Bible, and there is. And it's got all the answers, and none of those answers are religious or atheistic, right? They're just answers. They're just the most reasonable thing I've ever understood. But in order to understand those answers, You have to know the language, the intent within the language they were written in. And you're right, that is the problem. That is the problem, because again, it's much more important or easy and simple and enjoyable and entertaining to sit there and listen to debates between, you know, the Hutchins, Christopher Hitchens, and you know, whatever pastor they're taking on. And the atheist almost always destroys the religious guy, because the religious guy never has any ground to stand on. He's misinterpreting the Bible in every way, and the atheist is basically saying, well, you're the religious guy, you're wrong, therefore God doesn't exist. And it's brilliant. I used to love to watch those debates. Then Hitchens died. You had the guy that wrote the God Particle, and or the what's his name? I can't think of his name, but it's like this whole popular reality show that is based, like I said, it's based on a coin that has two sides, but there's no coin. There's no substance to any of these arguments because they have nothing to do with the Bible. And I'm fucking amazed that is the case. And you know, if you apply that model of thinking, of fallacious sophist thinking, the sophistication, right? You apply that to almost everything we do, including the presidential race, including all, you know, just about everything is based on that two-sided coin that doesn't exist. We're playing one of two parts, one of two sides, and yet when we try to look and find the middle ground, we can't. Because there was never anything, any substance that our opposing sides were based on. I mean, isn't that sort of what legalism and what the system is about? Is just everything is a lie?
That's all legalism is. It's all a lie. It's all based on, you know, pulling the veil of lies over the eyes of their fellow man, maintaining their control, keeping the aristocracy, which is a separation that they, you know, unequal in the eyes of God, so to speak. That they are, they have the right to rule. And self-preservation is their entire model. They've been at this for thousands of years. And how long did it take for somebody like you to come around and actually pull that veil away and say, has there been any books written, lectures, anything of its time that you've ever heard of before that said, hey, English is, look what they've done, it's a legalism type thing? Or is this something that it took 2,000 years for us to get to that point?
Very few people have written about it because it's not something you just write publicly about. Right?
I don't recall it ever being discussed or debated in any, on any level.
Well, there's people who get clues. There's people who figure out little parts of it. But like anything else, you know, you want to believe in the truth of all these religions and all these things, and that always gets in the way because your logic is based on the lie, the legal lie, the legal matrix. So it's very difficult, I think, to put yourself in a position where you have been able to release all that so that you can learn anew, that you can have an open mind in the way that's not like, oh, I took some mushrooms, my mind is open. No, open mind means that that nothing can penetrate your being, your understanding that isn't self-evident, that isn't something, you know, it has to be proven.
And the revelation.
The two forms of proof are God or existence, which is called self-evidence or self-existence, stuff that is not of man. Anything that is not of man, that was here before man, is of God. Anything that is man-made must then be proven to exist. In other words, nature needs no proof, I need no proof, but anything in man's world, in the legal sense, has to have proof. And that, again, that's one of those spiritual concepts that you suddenly realize that, oh yeah, nothing exists in man's world unless it's proven. My name is not self-evident. I am, but my name is not self-evident. I have to prove that I am Clint Richardson with this legal address, with this legal this. Those things don't exist in nature. They're not self-evident. And that's the spiritualistic test for everything. Is it made of God or is it made of man? The reason that people cannot take that test is because they don't know what God means. God means nature. God means existence or self-existence, self-evidence, oneness of everything that is not man-made. That's all it is. And if people could just have that as their foundation for all law, for all moral fabric, for all everything, that you are just part of the oneness of that God, that Jehovah, man, that alone would freaking change people's perspective. And then they could see through the fallacy. But only till you get to that point, that spiritualistic point, and it's real simple. You just look up the freaking word Jehovah, and you got to and see how it's used in the Bible, and see that every other time the word God is used, it's not a reference to Jehovah. It's a reference to kings and men who create things and destroy other men, right? As soon as you get that foundation, then all of a sudden you can see everything for what it is. It's either reality or it's fiction. It's either of the earth we're destroying, or it's inside the matrix, inside the jurisdiction where it needs proof to exist. And that is exactly what the Bible tells you. It's keep it real. Stay out of the fiction. Don't let artificial things taint you and harm you. And don't respect them, the titles, the names, the numbers. Don't give in to the fiction. And you know what, Greg? Man, that's exactly what we are. We are an entire society based on everything that is opposite to reality or opposed to God, opposed to nature. Everything we do is a pursuit of some fiction, whether it's money or the valuation of that money that we can buy things, insurances, all these things. All of those are what the Bible says and don't do. And the important lesson is simply that the... And if I could just get this across to people, the Bible is not religion. The Bible is the law. It's the foundation of the common law. And as soon as you get that, you realize that the entire legal structure is set up to catch everybody who falls. Who falls from the natural law. Who falls from the law as unwritten law of the Bible. It's such an amazing understanding, but like you said, to get to that understanding, you have to give up all the sophistication, all the sophistry, all the fallacy, and that's very difficult. That's an ego killer right there.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's the most difficult thing of all for. But there, as we go on, more and more people are falling into that. They're open to it. I think that scares the establishment to a great degree.
Well, think about like when you're going to vote, right? You're putting a mark on a piece of paper, a mark, which you know you shouldn't do. You're signing it. You're saying, "I am a United States citizen." So you're admitting to your felony of birth, your crime of birth. You're saying that I am a slave. You're saying that you're doing all these things that are absolutely artificial, and you're casting a vote which doesn't count, and you are or isn't counted, I should say, in the final verdict. And you are literally going through a process of complete fakery to ensure and legitimize a false flattering title of a CEO of a municipal corporation that is, for all intents and purposes, your absolute enemy, because it is the holder of your person, therefore of your property, of your children and everything else, which is why it can take your children. I mean, you got to think about what you're doing, what these kinds of media spectacles cause us to do, what the actions and behaviors that we are caused to do, from voting to the debates that we have to now these ridiculous, violent oppression, or these protests that are going on. What these political, in other words, artificial things cause us to do, and how they cause us to act, is a direct condition of not knowing what the Bible or foundational moral law is. That's the simplest way of saying it. The only reason you would vote for president is because you have no moral compass that says, no, don't participate in artificial things.
That's true, but it's only now that the lessons are being learned. I'm actually pretty optimistic. I'm going to remain optimistic about life and going forward. God works in mysterious ways, and you know, maybe it's not okay. If we can get a positive change, maybe people can get some purpose in their lives, and the conspiracy movement can take a step back, right? Because I think they want to destroy that.
I think we've destroyed ourselves. I heard a quote by Jones the other day, Alex Jones, and he actually said, yeah, my family, you know, I'm not of the modern Illuminati. My family was like the illuminated ones who supported the new Atlantis, you know, like Sir Francis Bacon. And I'm like, oh my God, Alex Jones just admitted who he is. I'm like, holy shit. Oh, all right, guys. Bye. Take care. Thanks, Craig. Try to stop them. Don't put that on your wish list. That's retarded babble. Protesters make the hit list soon as they start to rabble. They are nothing but fishes in the barrel. It doesn't have to be Christmas for a carol. Some decorate with ornamental decorum. Some perform shock and awe on Hanukkah and Purim. That's where my job come in. I am a blessing to the mercenary. For the corporation selling weapons to them. Any potential competitor step into them. I'm authorized to knock them out and stick a GPS into them. They want to sell uranium to Iran. That's enriched, that's a bitch. No, we gotta teach them.